Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello, and welcome to Visible by Numbers, being broadcast on beautiful BBS Radio, the number one radio station on the internet. And of course, this is your host, Allison. And again, I thank you ever so much for tuning into my show this evening. And I'm happy that you're here. Listen, I just got one quick thing to mention before we get to our guest, and that is the fact that I'm going to be doing a 2011 Your Personal Year Number Seminar. It's going to be a teleconference seminar on November 10th at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And, you know, teleconference seminars are really great because you can attend from the comfort of your own home. And if you miss the teleconference, you still have an opportunity to listen to the recording of the session. So, you know, it's kind of a great way to, you know, I go and I teach these seminars all over the Philadelphia area and here locally, but this is a great way for all of you out there on the internet to attend one of my seminars. And this one will teach you how to figure out your personal year number and explain its influence on you so that you know what to expect and to take the best possible advantage of the opportunities awaiting for you in 2011 and beyond. So if you've got questions about your career, health, money, love, and want to know what's in store for you for 2011, this is a seminar to attend. And I'm also going to be taking questions and answers from people in the seminar. I'm also going to offer each and every participant a one specific question reading, which will either be done during the seminar or even via email afterwards. So this is kind of my way of looking into your personal chart and being able to answer a very specific question for you. So that comes along with the price of the seminar. So be sure to check it out. You can find out all the information on the events page on visiblebynumbers.com. And also in that one seminar, I'm also going to be giving my 2011 predictions. You'll be the first to hear. So it should be an interesting seminar. Again, it's November 10th, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can read about it and register at visiblebynumbers.com on the events page. Now, getting to my guest this evening, are you one of those people that are interested in crystals and stones? I know that I am. Have you ever attempted to heal yourself or others through holistic healing? Or is this something that you kind of been feeling, you know, maybe being pulled more towards holistic sort of a lifestyle? Tonight we have the pleasure of having Nicole Lanning, author of Practical Crystal Healing, 555 Tips and Techniques, which help us discover our own personal healing attributes, in addition to offering tools to create a holistic lifestyle. Now, the use of crystals to heal ills of the body and mind goes back to antiquity. And in this book, Nicole draws upon her many years of experience and expertise to provide us novices with really some really great organized presentation and introduction to the use of crystals in healing and all kinds of tips, tricks, and techniques on how to use them medicinally. The book has everything in it from selecting the right crystal to programming it to cleansing it and care of your crystals and so much more. And just to let you know a little bit about Nicole, she's a natural-born empath, a psychic intuitive, and a healer, and she's focused her life on energy work, readings, and spiritual teachings. She is the founder of Healing Art Forms, which offers multiple forms of energy instruction, and it's really a wonderful website. We're going to be talking about that. She also has just initiated a new website called Holistic Healing Minute. So there's a lot to talk about. I'm so happy that she's on the show. So, hey, let's welcome her now. Hi, Nicole. How are you?
Good, Allison. How are you? And thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. I know that there's a lot to talk about, but I just want to jump over to the book because I really think that this is really a book that anyone that is the least bit interested in crystals should have because, you know, so often we get these books on crystals and it tells us what it looks like, what its properties are, what it can do for you, but it doesn't necessarily go into how to use it for healing. And I think that that's one thing that your book is rather brilliant about, because it really kind of tells you, well, what do I do with it to gain healing in this particular area of my life? And I find that a lot of crystal books myself are rather confusing. One says one thing, another says another. And, you know, so it's nice that you took all these years of expertise and gave us all this advice in this one little neat little book called Practical Crystal Healing, 555 Tips and Techniques. How do people get a hold of this book, Nicole?
They can find it either on all of the, you know, major internet outlets, especially Amazon is the biggest one. And actually, they can even find them on practicalcrystalhealing.com. We even have a website set up. We're turning them all into series tips books. The first one came out, and you described it so beautifully. I mean, that was the one main purpose of why I started with these books, is I've always had a love for crystals. And I have, of course, all of, you know, probably almost every crystal book I could get my hands on out there. And like you said, they give you wonderful pictures and properties and, you know, all of the different hardness and chakra correspondences and colors. And they'll list, you know, 20 different things that you can use that crystal for. But if you really don't know, you start flipping through the book going, okay, I have this problem, but I don't know how to tackle it. So then you start looking in the index and you're going, wait a minute, it shows 10 different crystals. What am I supposed to do?
Right.
So you pull out your other books and you do the same thing and you're going, okay, well, process of elimination, which one's most common? And it's not always that way.
Right.
That's what I ended up doing with crystal healing was I started that way and I said, there's got to be a better way to do this. And I worked with, you know, of course, family and friends and anybody that, you know, would allow me to practice crystal healing on them. And we narrowed it down to what works for the most common majority cases.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the beauty comes in. And everybody says, well, does every single thing, is everything in that book going to work for me? Everything in the book isn't always going to be applied. But there may be someone in your life that needs healing, or you know someone that has another issue. And for the most part, for all of the test cases that we did, they came out at 99.9% positive that they're working for the majority of cases. So
right,
it's a great tool. And we even started adding other ones. We just released the one for the animal companions back in August.
Well, I don't know if you heard Roxy barking in the background, but that's a sure sign that you're psychic. That's a sure sign that you're psychic. She usually is very quiet, but as soon as I get somebody that's psychic on, then she starts barking. So just so you know, Roxy just gave you the Roxy seal of approval.
I love it. Thank you, Roxy.
She's trying to talk to you, actually. Okay, so you know what I like about the book, too, is, you know, I was introduced to crystals really in a really strange sort of a way, and I was one of those people like, okay, so you're telling me that this rock can do what? It's a rock.
Mm-hmm.
And being somewhat skeptical, and it's not to say that I don't embrace everything, because I do, but I just, like, I have to prove it to myself. And so I purchased a quartz crystal, and I was told by this really wonderful Indian person that gave it to me, sleep with it from new moon to new moon, and needless to say, a lot of people heard this story. I didn't sleep for 3 days before I figured out it was the crystal. And the first thing to me was, oh, my God, these things do have energy that does influence me. And then eventually it was even confirmed even more so when I went to my first rock and gem show. And basically I'm a fairly grounded, normal, you know, 57-year-old with not a heck of a lot of energy. And I was running through this rock and gem show like I had ADHD, you know, that I was on speed or something. And it all of a sudden dawned on me, oh, my God, it's all these crystals that are literally interacting with me and causing me to be very hyper. So it was a very short story before I began to understand, okay, these things do have energy. But what I love about your book is you can look up something and, you know, maybe the healing, what you need to do is to wear it. Maybe you need to make an elixir, which a lot of people don't even know that you should do that. Or maybe you need to make a mist and use it. And what I love about your book is that whether it's anything from house clearing to anxiety to headaches to good fortune to your love life, I mean, there's an applied where you can take the crystal and apply it and do something very specific rather than simply purchasing it, sitting on a counter and going, okay, now do it. You know, it's like, what do you do with it? You know, so it gives you a direction to take your purchase and, you know, do something with it. So I love that about this book.
It was It was really interesting to write. I did the book, all of the books, which we're working on the rest now, they've all been written, and I didn't even realize it because I started doing this when I was about 16 years old, and of course, you know, I could finally get a job and start making my own money and start buying my own crystals and start taking more classes and learning more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started all of my trial and error, and I kept journals of everything. I have journals stacked, I mean, probably six or seven stacked in our class, just stacked all the way to the ceiling, full of everything that we've been working with. And I didn't even realize it. It was more of a knowledge for myself and wanting to help, you know, family and friends and others. And I really wanted to get it. And I told my husband, I said, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to write. It was my time to write a book. And he goes, you're going to write a book? He knows I am not one big for writing. And he goes, really, you're going to write a book? And I said, absolutely. And he goes, what are you going to write a book on? I said, Reiki. And he goes, okay. I sat down, got about a paragraph out, and I hit a wall. And I was just like, oh, no, this can't be happening. Mm-hmm. And I told myself to meditate some more and did it, and I came out, and I was super excited again. I said, I'm going to do it again. He goes, what are you writing about now? I said, Reiki and children. He goes, okay. And one of my big passions, of course, you know, I have working with kids and working with animals. And that one, I got another paragraph out, and I hit another wall, and I got so frustrated. I said, that's it. I need downtime. And he goes, okay. And I did a very intense, super meditation state. And I was probably in there for, goodness, I'm thinking close to 6 hours. And he came in and interrupted, and that's what kind of broke me out of the state. And I just, my eyes lit up, and he looks at me, and he goes, what? And I said, I know what I'm writing about. He goes, third time's the charm? And I said, yeah, it is. I said, I'm writing a book about crystals. And he goes, okay. He goes, but what are you going to write? And I said, I know it's already written. Everything's written for me. I said, and I opened a closet up and all these journals in there, and I said, it's all here. And he goes, wow. He goes, really like that idea, honey. And I said, he goes, but you have to do it differently. I know he was just, he had this little light bulb you could see just kind of popped on over his head. And he goes, you have to do it different. I said, I know. So I went and I ran to the book and I said, I pulled all these books down. I have probably, you know, 50 books on crystals. I said, I laid them all out. I said, they're all saying the same thing. I said, but they're not telling anybody how to do it. And I said, I already have that ability. It's all here. Mm-hmm. And he goes, but how are you going to make it user-friendly? And I said, I'm going to do it. And I sat down, and in about a couple weeks, the whole book came out. And the hardest part, actually, was picking only 555 techniques, because we had many. I was going through going, what do people want to hear most about? So that took more meditation time, but it's so user-friendly. We made it so that it can be through a beginner through advanced book. For the first 10 chapters, tells all of those beginners out there, literally walks them through picking out stones, choosing them and cleansing them and programming them and how to use them in different ways. And the last chapter, and I always say the first 9 chapters, too, are a good refresher, because I've come to find out there's a lot of practitioners out there going, I didn't know you could cleanse a stone with, you know, sunlight, but I knew about moonlight. And in the second book, I have even more cleansing techniques. So lots of people are really excited about that one. But the last chapters were all of those techniques are in, and that's where anyone can really dive in. And I wanted it in a simple format because, you know, everyone kind of wants to, I have a headache. I want to know how to fix it now. I don't want to read for an hour to figure out how to fix this. So that's why we did it. Everything's alphabetized. Makes it so easy to find.
Well, after reading the book, and especially this that says about positivity, to wear or carry a poppy jasper to bring about happiness, positivity, and an overall good feeling to your day. I'm officially going to buy like a truck of those, and I'm just going to give it out to everybody I meet, okay?
I love it.
I decided I just want a truckload, not necessary for me because I'm a very positive person, but just for everybody I know that is not. So that was kind of nice to read that.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm buying a truckload of those. I think, you know, everything, and please understand, everyone, that I'm holding a copy of this book, and I've read the book, and certainly now it's officially going into my reference books, because I also have a lot of books about crystals and stones. But, you know, it's like everything from good fortune, grief, grounding stones, you know, how to ground, if you have a problem with your inner ear, I mean, my goodness, jet lag, there's a good one. You know, lucid dreaming, If you're working with lucid dreaming, and, you know, a lot of people do work with that, a stone that you can use for that. Not just talking about wearing them. I did find one thing that was there that I actually went, huh, I did not know that. And because I'm one of those people that I will purchase a stone, like when I was coming into being a public speaker, and so I had a really beautiful, blue stone. I forget which one it was at the time that I was wearing around my neck for my throat chakra. I was just thinking that this helped me to be a good speaker and to help me to put my words together, and that's really kind of what I felt it wanted to do, and I wore it until finally I got sick of it and I took it off and replaced it with something else, okay? Mm-hmm. But one of the things you said is that when you're working with a stone that you should cleanse it quite often. Is that mm-hmm. correct? Okay.
Yes.
So, like, if you wear it as jewelry, and I'm one of those people, so many people that I meet and that I talk to, they go, well, yeah, I've got a hematite. Well, where is it? It's over on my desk. Well, it doesn't mm-hmm. do you any good if it's sitting on your desk. You really need to put it mm-hmm. on your person and have it interact. And so that's why mm-hmm. I really do suggest that people wear it as jewelry. But my thing of it is I don't always think to take off that necklace and cleanse it every so many days and put it back on. I just mm-hmm. wear it until I figure, oh, I don't think I need this one anymore. Sometimes they drop off, fall off, or you lose them, and then I usually take that as a sign I didn't need that anymore.
Generally. A lot of times it can be that, or a lot of times it can be the simple fact that it just wants to be cleansed. And it's
also, it just gets
out. Yeah, hey, I've had enough, you know, take care of me type of thing. My husband's did that. He wears hematite a lot for in a necklace. It's actually kind of hard to find for a guy to wear, but, you know, I found one, and he did it, and the chain and everything, it kept, he would wear it, and he would forget to cleanse it, just like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. I'd always remind him, I'd say, honey, you know, cleanse it, and I'd even mark it on the calendar and everything and trying to, you know, honey, come on, you know, stay on top of this, and the chain kept breaking, and I went out and got him another chain. That one broke, and I'm like, what is going on with it? I said, when is the last time you cleansed that thing? He goes, oh, I don't know, you know, weeks ago. I'm like, honey, you can't do that. I said, you have to. He's like, oh, that's right. He looked at the camera. He sees all these things. I forgot to cleanse it. And a lot of times what it does is the crystals will hold all of that energetic debris that it's literally mm-hmm. either, especially the hematite, that it's pulling out from your energy fields, and it's holding on to that, and it's saying, hey, I need to get rid of it too. I don't want to hold on to it anymore. You know,
right.
I want to be cleansed too. And or the other ones, they'll be balancing your energies out, but still they pick up all of those energetic imprints. And
sure.
they need to be cleansed so that they can feel that they're, you know, powerful again too.
Right.
And the biggest thing, you know, is if you can't remember, mark it down somewhere that, you know, you see all the time. If, you know,
right.
on a calendar, on your work, on, you know, make a right. note on your BlackBerry, whatever it happens to be, you know, make sure you take care of them and cleanse them, because they're always going to be there to take care of you too.
I think my neighbors think that I am basically insane, because every full moon, my husband and I, it's like this train of carrying out all these crystals and stones and setting them in the new moon, in the full moon at night, and mm-hmm. I even let them stay in the sunshine the next day, and then I'll bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
Is everybody happy now, right? And
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure they think, okay, there they are carrying their rocks outside again, and that would be us
mm-hmm.
Doing that. So I think that's kind of, you know, that's the way it goes in our household anyhow. And, you know, I know that one thing that some of the things that people have said that I think, I don't know what to think of, like one person would say that this particular stone, you got to keep a leash on it. Somebody said that to me once, and I said, what the heck does that mean? You have to keep a leash on it, meaning that it was just a very powerful stone, and it could work for good
mm-hmm.
or evil, and you had to be careful of it. And I'm like, do stones, can they, I like to think of Reiki as not being able to do any harm, that Reiki only goes for the highest and greatest good of that individual. Now, if you were to take
mm-hmm.
that same information and apply it to stones and crystals, would the same thing apply?
Absolutely. I mean, there are people, they look at it and they say, well, we live in a world of polar opposites. So, of course, if it can cause harm, it can cause, you know, foul, too, to other people. And it can, if the person uses it with their intention to do it. But it's not going to get anywhere because the crystal's going to say, hey, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to use any of that. And it's just going to sit there and kind of pretty much put up its own resistance until it decides it's not going to, you know, work anymore for the person. But
okay. No,
they can't harm you. A crystal does not have that ability. Its ability came from Mother Earth, where it's here to help and to spread knowledge and to spread healing. So, of course, when we use them, they may not always work the quickest. Like you said, if you pull out your hematite and you leave it on your desk and you're walking around, it's not anywhere near where it needs to be to help. But that doesn't mean it's causing harm. It just can't help the way, you know, it needs to right then.
Okay.
But they can't cause any harm, you know, unless you try to eat them or take them internally.
Right.
Not a good idea.
All right. And I know that we have a caller. And caller, I hear you and I'll get right to you. But I want to do a follow-up question here with Nicole. So if we understand that the crystals cannot do any harm, then when we talk about programming, and I've read also in other books that you don't know who used that crystal before you. You don't know for what intention they used the crystal before you. So therefore, it's rather important that when you get a crystal, that you do some sort of clearing of the crystal and programming of the crystal so the crystal knows the intent for which you want to work with it. You know, whether that may be for healing emotions or whatever, or maybe to help you with your meditations or connection to the divine or to the angelic realm or whatever the case might be. So if you don't, let's say somebody used the crystal for bad mojo and then you forget to program it, does that mean that crystal is bad mojo?
No.
Okay. The only way it would be,
yes, is if you get that crystal from them, they programmed it, and you still continue to use that crystal for that particular reason. That's the only way. But the biggest thing, when you get new crystals, cleanse them. That removes the prior programming. If you cleanse them, it's gone. The crystal looks at that, and that's why a lot of times after you cleanse crystals, you have to reprogram them. People think it just removes that energetic debris. It removes the programming, too, especially if you're doing a very deep cleansing of it. But no, unless, like you said, they program it for bad mojo, and you literally go and say, I'm going to use this for bad mojo now, well, then, yeah, it's still going to hold the programming. But
other than that,
cleanse them, program them again, they're fine.
Okay. Well, listen, Nicole, as you know that on this radio show, we do get quite a few call-ins, and we already have somebody calling into the show. And so first and foremost, what I want to say is, caller, you're more than welcome. If you've got a question about a crystal of stone or even some healing or what stone to use, you're more than welcome to ask our expert this evening, Nicole Lanning, and I'm sure she can answer that question. But also be advised that certainly Michelle has many talents besides having a vast amount of knowledge about crystals and stones. She is psychic, she's a healer, she's an empath, she's an intuitive, and she can even do a little bit of reading for you. So with all that being said, hello, caller, who's calling?
Oh, hi, Allison, and hi, Nicole, this is Linda in Florida. You know, Allison, I apologize. For some reason, you bleeped out. I didn't hear everything you were saying.
Just now? Or the whole
I
show?
I apologize.
Did you apologize to what I all I said, Linda, was that Nicole is an expert on crystals and stones and certainly can give you an advice if you have a question about them or what stone to use for what. I mean, if you have a particular issue in your life, perhaps she can give you a suggestion and how to use the crystal, and that certainly is a question that you can ask her. Or if you have a comment about a crystal and stone, you're welcome to share it. And also, I mean, hey, she has her own intuitive and psychic abilities, and she might even be able to give you a little advice in that direction. So with that being said, hey, you two, Linda, this is Nicole. Nicole, this is Linda.
Thank you, Allison. I just love Allison. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Linda. What can I help you
with
tonight?
Nicole, I do the pendulum, and for some reason, well, I do know the reason now, for some reason, I stopped. Because I'm not accurate, the pendulum. I think that what I'm doing is I'm manipulating the pendulum. Even though I'm not, you know, intentionally doing it, something subconsciously, I'm making the, like, you know, you ask it, and every time I do the pendulum, I do it, you know, I do prayer first. I'm in with meditation, so I'm in a real good spot. Got any suggestions and anything intuitively? Because a lot has been happening to me, and I don't know the meaning of this and I live in a relatively pretty safe area. A year ago, I had an attempted assault on me just about 2 weeks ago. I looked out my den window, and there's two teenage boys right by my window, 2 feet away from me on the other side of the glass. And then I was house-sitting for my friend, and then I had somebody at the front door trying to ask me for some person that doesn't even live there. So I'm getting a lot of, like, encounters like that, and I don't understand why this is happening because I'm relatively a low-key person, and I try to be safe.
Well, that doesn't mean that you're not a good person or you're in a bad area or anything like that. It could just be simple, you know, little things that might need to have your energy cleansed, have a protection placed around you on an energetic level, whether you do that with energy, with crystals, with Reiki. It's just a matter of fine-tuning things because once in a while, you know, depending on what you're putting off energy-wise, whether positive, negative, your thought patterns, your mindset, it's not that you're intending harm to come to you, but a lot of times a lot of that just needs to be cleansed, just needs to be boosted with energy. For, you know, especially if you like to use crystals, black, tourmaline, and onyx work really good for protections. I have them, I put them, and I carry them in my purse. I have them with me all the time. You know, if I'm at home and my purse is on the counter, I take them out, I put them in my pockets. They're with me all the time. That's just me. But those two work really good. You want to make sure you cleanse them, though, and you want to program it. I do mine about every 7 days. I mark it on my little calendar. It's just something I do on a particular day. I get all my crystals done. It's all taken care of. But a lot of that, you know, can help end up pulling all that out, can have a nice little protection around. So that can work with that a little more safer in your environment for you. For your pendulum question, now, is it, what kind of pendulum is it? Is it a crystal pendulum, or is it another type of pendulum that you're working with?
Yes. I can pick up just about anything. I can even take my watch off and use the strap of my watch as a pendulum, but I have an amethyst pendulum.
Well, just want to make sure a lot of people, when they, especially when they're working with pendulums, make sure they're cleansed. Make sure you take, like you said, you take time to do your prayer and your meditation. Even try to program it, especially like if it's a crystal, it works. Even other inanimate objects, you can put a programming. It doesn't hold it as long as a living rock like a crystal does, but it will hold it while you're working with it. So if you're using your watch, you can program that. You hold it in your hands, you set your mind, you work with your prayer, you work with your meditation, set your intention. As long as you're holding that, it's still going to hold that energy charge. Once you let it go, it's not going to hold that programming anymore because it's not a living thing. It doesn't have that energy for that. But a lot of it is still just believing and trusting in your own intuition. And I know it's really hard, and I know a lot of people, that's the biggest roadblock to get through. It's the biggest speed bump to get over. But once you do, and you see the signs, and you see everything is coming true, you're going to realize that it's not just you controlling it, that you actually have tapped in to your higher self. You've tapped into your guides. You've tapped into the universe, and you're getting the answers that are coming through.
Okay. I just want to interject here.
I understand what you're saying, Nicole, because that's exactly...
Wait a minute. Hold on. I just want to interject one thing here, okay? Because at the onset of talking about your pendulum, you felt as though that you were programming it to give you the answers as opposed to it doing it. And I actually studied with pendulums with Dr. Kevin Emery, and he had a really brilliant thing to suggest, and that is, let's say you've got three questions. And let's say there are three things that are on your mind and you're wanting to consult with your pendulum. Then what you need to do is you need to write them on a piece of paper, okay? And fold up that paper all the same so you don't know which question is which. And then you put the pendulum over the paper so that you don't know which question the pendulum is addressing. And then you ask a yes or no, and then you open it up to see which one it answered. And that way you cannot possibly influence the pendulum, because truly, subconsciously, and in some manner, some people can literally cause the pendulum to go in a direction just based on, you know, anticipation of what answer they want. So if you don't even know what question you're asking, you can't do that. And I thought that was a really brilliant way to go about that. So I just wanted to interject that to you, Linda.
Oh, Allison, thank you. I'm going to try that, Allison, because when you're saying programming, I don't do it. I believe I'm doing it subconsciously.
Sure.
You know, and I'll go a yes or a no, because I've been really working on myself with the prayer and the meditation, and I'll do the pendulum.
Yeah, but if you do that, you don't even have to worry about anything subconscious.
Yeah.
And also do what Nicole said, which is clear your pendulum. And, you know, do the same thing as far as cleansing that, you know, as well, and programming your pendulum. Do that as well. And I think you'll find that that'll work better for you. Okay. Linda?
I appreciate everything. You know what? I'm going to, that's what I'm going to do, because I really loved doing the pendulum. And I, you know, in my meditation, and sometimes it's just, I don't know. I just enjoy doing it. I truly do.
Well, it's good.
I think
then
I'm
going
to get back
it.
And I'm going to do that. Allison, you made a lot of sense there, Nicole. I really thank you guys.
All right. You're welcome, honey.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye now.
All right. Good luck. All right. I thought that was really brilliant as far as taking the, you know, the doubting it, you know, by actually putting in three questions or whatever it is you want to know. You could even only have one question and just have three blank, you know, two other blank pieces of paper in the question. And then that way you'll know. Yeah, it's a one way of taking that out.
It's a great way, too.
Okay.
You know, especially get over that last hump and sit there and go, you get the answers and you write it down. I think probably the biggest thing is people will go back then, because I used to do those in our seminars, and people would go back, they would write their questions out, they would get them, they'd see their answers, and it wouldn't be the answer that they were anticipating, and they would go back and they would do it over again, trying
until
to get
the
answers. Yeah, pretty much, and I'm going, you can't do that. You have to take the answer for face value and understand there is no way you could influence it.
Sure.
So you have to take it for that, and then after a while when they start to see that their answers really are true, then that little light bulb goes off and they go, oh, wow, I didn't influence it. It really was true. And when those light bulb moments happen, that's when their intuition it really opens up so much more for them.
Right. And then, like I say, that's one way to take, also give yourself confidence in your answers, because there's no way you could have influenced that to go in any particular direction if you didn't even know what the heck the question was. So, but we do have another caller, so we're going to take the next caller. So who's calling, please?
Hi, Allison and Nicole. It's Kim from Maryland. How are you?
We're good, Kim.
Good.
How are you? Do you got a question for Nicole?
Yes, I do. Hi, Nicole. Well, I just wanted to let you know that yesterday was 7 years, you know, since my daughter passed, and her birthday is November the 7th, and I know she's fine and so forth, but I seem to be attracted to pink crystal. I'm not really, I'm just familiar with them just a little bit. I'm not real familiar with the significance of the crystals. Can you give me any info on that?
There's a lot of pink crystals out there, but 9 chances out of 10, probably one of the most common ones that you're coming across are probably a rose quartz. Those pink crystals deal with your higher heart chakra. That it's a minor chakra. It's right above your heart center. And that one actually helps balance emotions out. The pink ones help balance all of the emotions, the good ones and the bad ones. They balance everything. And, see, a lot of people confuse and they say, well, that's what the heart chakra's for, and it's got a green and pink swirl. Actually, the heart chakra deals with your emotions, deals with all of your emotions, but it really doesn't balance them. That's where your emotional center is based at. But that higher heart chakra, that is what is balancing everything. So if you're going through a lot of, you know, trauma, a lot of grief, or anything, you know, things are settling, anniversary dates, things, you have a lot of emotions that are going on there, and pink ones are being drawn to you, and you're being drawn to them to help balance all of that out within your life.
Okay, yes, I can honestly say it's, I feel pretty good, so that's a good thing.
You want
that
to wear
is a great thing.
Carry them on
yes,
your person
is.
And keep them with you at all times. Okay?
Oh, yes. Okay,
perfect.
Wonderful.
Okay,
well thank you. You ladies enjoy your night.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Speaking of rose quartz crystals, Nicole, One thing I've noticed with them is you'll get one, and it's very bright, and it's got a fairly, you know, significant pink color. And after a while, do you ever notice how they get very pale? What's that all about? Did you suck all the energy out of them? Why do they lose their color?
It depends a lot on how you take care of your crystals, and it depends a lot on how often you use them, too. They don't lose their energy, but they do a lot of times, especially if you put them out in the light, you put them out in the sunlight, even the moonlight. People are like, well, sunlight will fade. I've heard sunlight fades. Moonlight will actually fade your crystals, too. A lot of people don't realize that one. Moonlight will actually fade them, too. Yes, because, of course, where is the moon getting its sun from? It's getting it from the sun, and it's bouncing it back to us and the earth. Moonlight will actually fade your crystals, too. And I love putting my crystals out in the moon, but I hate that they fade. But moonlight will actually fade them, too. A combination of those two, depending on how, of course, people cleanse them, depending on if they're raw, if they're natural, if they're polished, a lot of times that can lose their color, too. And even if we take all of those out of there, a lot of the times the crystals, because they are their own living rocks, they have their own vibrational frequency. When they're getting to the point where they just want to, kind of pretty much the way I explain it is they want to just take a break. They want to rest. Mm-hmm. They've done enough of their healing that's, you know, in their lifetime, they're, you know, sitting there going, hey, I want a break. I just want to kind of mellow out here. A lot of times they'll start to lose their color too. So it can be a combination of, you know, how you're using them, what you're using them for, and how you're taking care of them.
Right. I always had a feeling with crystals, and you might tell me I'm wrong, but I always had a feeling with a crystal, like sometimes you have one and it just kind of breaks down and it's shattering all over the place or whatever. And I always feel that when I'm done with them that I should return them to Mother Earth. I always feel like I should take them down to a stream, or I should bury them back in the ground, or I should just send them back to Mother Earth where they came from. Is that what you would recommend?
Absolutely, if you want to. Now, some people say, but I don't want to give up my crystals. they get very attached. Right. There's some that I've had for years, and they're like, you know, my own little family. You know, they even have their own little names. And there's other ones that I've had, and like you said, they start to get that broken feeling and the energy, and they really do need to be returned. A lot of the times, what I'll do first with them is I'll give them a very good, deep cleansing where I'll bury them in Mother Earth to get that cleansing first, to say, wait a minute, maybe let's just see if you need to be cleansed first before, you know, we're not going to give up on you yet, and we'll do that, and they'll bounce right back. And a lot of times they'll say, nope, I don't want to be dug back up. So a lot of times, you know, it depends on how that crystal's been used. Like you said, you don't know where it came from. You don't know who had it before you. You don't know what they've done with it. You don't know its whole life cycle of what's going on with it. But a lot of times I find, like you said, streams are great and burying them is great. And, you know, anywhere, especially they love, I mean, big time, anything. I like going to, you know, even national parks, and I take them and they're just going along the path, and, you know, they're returning back to where they really need to be and have that big energy boost.
Right. I took a whole bunch of my crystals. I know this is going to sound crazy, but we were down in Tulum in Mexico, and I actually had them in a pot in my pocket. I took them into the ocean with me. So I figured they needed to go on the pilgrimage with me. So when we were at the Mayan ruins and when we were near the water, you know, here I had all these rocks in my pocket. So I wonder I didn't sink and drown. They went on a little pilgrimage with me. They weren't worse for the wear by the time I get down. Now, another thing that your book points out is that, you know, you have all these books that are telling you buy this or this or this, or you need this, this or this. But really, honestly and truly, when you walk into a crystal or gemstone store or you're looking at them, you're going to more often than not be drawn to something that works perfectly for you. So that quite often, your crystals and you are attracted to each other, what you need. And and that's so true. And what was really interesting for me just recently, I had purchased a very long time ago, it actually was an emerald cut Lemurian crystal. It was cut for, you know, as if to go into a ring or something. And I had purchased it a long time ago, but I just didn't feel like the time was right for me to, like, totally integrate that into my energy field on a permanent basis. But for whatever reasons, on my birthday this year, I was kept picking it up, kept looking at it, kept was drawn to it. And finally I said to my husband, you know what I'd like for my birthday is I would like for you to get that put into a ring so that I can actually wear that. And so he did. And here was what the beautiful confirmation for it was. I had that stone for 4 years, I think. I decided this year to put it into a ring. The following day, I opened up a present from a friend of mine, and she says, I don't know why, but I was in a store, and this just jumped out at me, and it wanted to go to you. And she said, so this is what I picked. And it was a Lemurian crystal. So that was the validation for me that, you know, it was such validation that it was time, you know, to actually start integrating and using this crystal more often. So I think it's really beautiful the way that you also pointed out in your book, because there's so much practical, you know, it's a really great title, Practical Crystal Healing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really wonderful to really almost empower you that you don't have to be clueless about what to do with your crystals and stones, that you can look something up, that you can find a direction, you can find something that you can physically do with a stone, even in a ritualistic sort of a way to help you to use the stone. So I think that's the greatest value. But what I want to talk about before we continue on with the crystals is I do want to point out your other websites, and I want to talk about them for a moment for everyone that's listening. Number one, why don't you talk for a moment about Crystal Art Forms and tell everybody about that website.
Healing Art Forms?
Yeah, healing. Sorry. See? I was holding all these
crystals,
crystals
on
I'm talking
the brain.
To you. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
We
that.
Have crystals on the
yeah.
brain tonight.
yeah.
Healing Art Forms.
Healing Art Forms
yes.
Institute. Okay.
Yes, Healing Art Forms Institute is a web school and a healing center. We started that over 10 years ago now, and started it with just some basic, you know, healings and trying to, you know, help other people pretty much was what we wanted. And had really no idea what I was doing getting onto the internet. And I said, I told my husband, I have no idea what I'm doing here. And he goes, well, just, you know, go with what feels good to you. And, you know, he goes, make sure you're doing it from, you know, your heart. And I said, okay. And I started it. And it literally took off overnight. I mean, we separated it almost 2 years ago now. So now it is its own separate web school and healing center. Before we had the healings mixed in with the teachings and everything, so now we have the two separate sides of it. And the learning side of this, the web school, has online programs dealing with learning, you know, angel healing and animal communication and crystal healing and spiritual releasements and working with pendulums and working with developing your intuition, all kinds of, you know, different programs on there. There's even bachelor's and master degrees in energetic healing on there. And the other side is the healing center. That's where we have everything broken down for different types of healings for the majority of people, along with customized healings and even physical issues. Started offering those within like the past 2 years, especially when my husband ended up having a problem with his own throat chakra. And it really put a wake-up call into our family, and I said I needed to start offering more physical healings instead of more just, well, people, you know, I want more money in my life, or I want a better love life, or, you know, I need general chakra work or anything. And I said, I need to offer more of those physical issues. And it was a really big wake-up call. And we broke all that down, figured out, we put that on there, and even customized healings for things that, you know, people are, well, I'm not quite sure what I need, but I know this is bothering me, or I know my feet are bothering me, but I know I have a problem with this chakra, and how can I, you know, incorporate all this together?
Sure.
That's where our healing center comes in. And there is a lot of healings on there, and it pretty much taps into almost every area you could think about, at least that I know of right now, that is on there. And if there's something on there that I don't know of, I'll find it out for you, and I'll point you in the direction of who does know.
I think you have
but
everything.
Healing Art Forms has a lot.
Right. And so this goes, your work goes beyond being an author, going on being a psychic and a healer and an empath, but you really have, given options, especially in some really beautiful websites, on how to help people heal and how to heal them to be the healer, but also to teach them to be the healer, Because you have a lot of educational, even attunements for various different things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, quite often, and I send this out to my listeners, but quite often, you know, I'm talking to people, and they don't live anywhere near where there are these programs offered in the vicinity of where they live. If they wanted to study something, there's no place to go study it or to learn from. And you offer two really beautiful websites that you could live anywhere. You could live in the middle of the wilderness, and if you've got an internet connection, you can learn everything that you would want to know about so many. I mean, it's incredible what you offer on your website. So give, for a moment, just give everybody the web address.
Healing Art, the Healing Art Forms Institute is www.healingartforms.com. And we are strictly online-based institute. We have no brick-and-mortar store.
Right. But also the Holistic Healing Minute, that's the newest that you've launched? Tell them
that was... Yes, that one we launched last month. That one was really interesting in how we got to that. I started doing a lot of tours with the books, and everyone wanted to have me do more. They wanted to learn more other than just crystals. They realized what I could do with my readings and what we could do with the web school, and they wanted to have me do seminars. So we spent most of the summer traveling around doing seminars throughout the United States, and I told my husband, you know, I have two kids and four dogs and a husband. I said, this is getting hard on the family. I said, I'm a very family-oriented person. I said, I want my family with me. He said, there's got to be an easier way. And I said, well, I really didn't want to do webinars right then. I said, but what about a video learning format? And he goes, oh, my gosh. He goes, that's just, like, huge. And he goes, how are you going to do it? And I sat down for like a day, we figured out the whole business and the whole business plan, started doing videos within a few days, and Holistic Healing Minute was born. And literally, it's a daily video learning format from Monday through Friday. The subscribers get a new video. It starts from the very basics because everyone is at a different point in their spiritual pathway. And there's a lot that, you know, that really don't know anything. Then there's others, of course, that know more. But we have to start somewhere. So we start them at the very basics and start explaining what energy is. Start explaining about attunements. People, you get in there. And the video clips are very short because everybody's, you know, they have so much to do. They have so much time. They have families and work they have to juggle. It's a very easy learning format where you can watch the video. You even get a daily exercise and, of course, full support with me if anyone ever has any questions. And it literally walks them through mind, body, and spirit total workout from the very beginning. And like I said, it's Monday through Friday because, you know, you got to have time on the weekends, especially if you want to go back. You can review all the videos in the archives. Sure. Work, spend some extra time, you know, doing your meditations or journaling or whatever you need to catch up on. So it gives you that nice little break on the weekends. But like I said, we launched that last month, and that one is www.holistichealingminute.com.
Okay. So those are really two really good websites, especially I really think that there's so many people out there. Well, who do I go to? Who's a teacher? And then they find out that they have to travel 250 miles. Or maybe a place where there aren't seminars or where there isn't a place where they can go, a healing center, where they can listen to various different people. And the both websites, I think, are really important because also a lot of times people are out there and they feel to a certain extent like there's nobody that understands my language or they don't understand where I'm at or where do I get, you know, where can I take this, what I'm feeling, and take it to a different level, become a healer. Or how do I take my gifts and make them stronger? And I really think that there could be something, there's got to be something on both these websites that you might find yourself drawn to a direction where you might maybe want to learn how to communicate with your angels, or perhaps you're interested in Reiki, or perhaps it's a plethora of different things that you have, and this gives them the opportunity to go and read about it, maybe feel drawn to it, and also have someone that's credited, because you are credited to teach these things, and somebody that's got, I mean, how many years of experience? Because you're talking about you know, kind of doing this for so long. So you've got a tremendous amount of experience. You look like you're, I mean, no offense, Nicole, but in your pictures, you look like you're 14.
No, thank you. I love it, Allison.
Okay, so I know that you're not, but you've been doing this for a long time.
No, I'm actually 35.
Okay, all right, so you're actually
35. And I've been doing this since I was 18, yes.
And that's probably quite unusual to be doing it since you were 18, because I don't know many 18 years old that would have a sense of self to go in a direction that I'm sure at age 18 was pretty much against the mainstream. Like right now, the way things are, it's pretty cool to talk about psychic and ghosts and and the metaphysical and chakras and stuff, because, you know, there's so many more people, there's so much more information that's out there. But back when you were 18, come on now, there was nothing.
There was no internet.
there was nothing. So,
no, was... my kids still, they're like, there was no internet then, Mom? I said, no, Mom was a cavewoman back then. There was no internet. And, you know, sometimes you sit there, you feel old then. But, you know, back then there wasn't. And I started offering readings when I was 16, and I started learning Reiki when I was 16. And
then
before I was 18, before I was 18, I had my master teacher in that, and I started offering healings and diving into working with crystals and everything and working with other people when I was 18.
And that's pretty unusual for someone to be that age and to do that. I will say one thing for the internet, and this is the one thing that I love about it most, is it doesn't matter where you live. You know, I think that so many people are questioning things on a deeper level, perhaps shifting in their perceptions of what they believed in before, perhaps being a little bit more open-minded to looking at things in a different way. And sometimes there's not a lot of people around you that are seeing eye to eye with you. I think the one beautiful thing about the internet is you're never alone, that there are so many fantastic websites you can Google anything and you find out that you have kindred spirits everywhere. And there are teachers out there that are there to teach you, and you don't have to feel isolated or alone based on where you live. And I just really do encourage anyone out there that is looking for maybe some additional learning or mentoring, or maybe to learn how to heal holistically on so many different levels. Again, those websites are, Nicole, I'll let you say them, seeing
www.healingartforms.com and www.holistichealingminute.com.
Right. Well, I would love to just continue to open up the lines, but we've only got 1 minute left on the show, so I really apologize that we really can't take any more callers because we only got 1 minute. So, again, the book that we were talking about, Practical Crystal Healing, 555 Tips and Techniques. And you could just Google that. You can also look on the BBS, my pages on BBS. You can even go to my website, Visible by Numbers. There's clickable links there, and that'll take you to Nicole's website, and you can find out how to get a hold of the book. And for those of you that might have missed the beginning of the program, my biggest praise for the book is that so many times we buy these crystal books and they tell us this is what it looks like. They show us a picture. They tell us the properties. They says this is what it helps you with, but it doesn't tell you how to use the actual crystal or what method you should use that crystal or give you suggestions on how to use the crystal. And this is the beautiful thing about Practical Crystal Healing, the book, is that it tells you what you can do with it. To use the actual crystal. So that was really brilliant. So I thank you for writing the book, Nicole. And it's totally a pleasure having you on the show. I hope you come back.
It was a wonderful joy to be on. It really was. And I would love to come back anytime you want to have me.
Okay, well, wonderful. Well, thanks, Nicole. And carry on with the good work, okay?
Thank you, Allison.
Good night. All right, everybody. That's the show for tonight, and we will be back again next week, and we have another special guest next week, so that'll be great. I think it's Joanne Gerber, and Joanne Gerber is really a renowned psychic medium. And, you know, it's always wonderful to have Joanna on the show, and she'll be here next week. And so in the meantime, y'all have a great week, and I'm wishing you abundant blessings always. Have a great night, everyone. Good night.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.